spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, The King's Pawn by Marion Voigt, was adapted from Lillian Freehoff's Stories of King Solomon, published by the Jewish Publication Society of America. It's true, of course, King Solomon was one of the wisest men who ever lived. But do you imagine he just sat down and wrote out all those proverbs of his with no trouble at all, and no slow learning from life itself? Well, it could be, of course. But there are legends that have lasted down through the centuries that tell of Solomon the man as well as Solomon the king. They tell of Solomon who liked games, for instance, particularly chess. And they tell of one game in particular with his first lieutenant, Benaiah, that had more consequences than anyone expected.
Oh, Benaiah. Benaiah.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Here you are, still busy with the counts. Have you forgotten our game?
Our game? I thought you did not wish to play this evening, Your Majesty.
But do we not play every evening before dinner, Benaiah?
Indeed, Your Majesty, but last night you said you were going to watch the races at the Hippodrome this afternoon.
And so I did. But the races were over an hour ago.
Oh, really? But I never dreamed. I spent all afternoon on these papers and delayed the visit I must make to the dungeons. Indeed, I have to make it, Your Majesty, and I thought I would have ample time.
But that is all right, Benaiah. Go ahead and make your tour of inspection.
Oh, thank you, Your Majesty. And we will forget the chess game this evening?
Forget it? Well, we will play when you return.
Oh.
Benaiah, there is something in your tone. I thought you enjoyed chess as much as I do.
Oh, I do, Your Majesty.
Perhaps you grow weary of always having Solomon for a partner.
Your Majesty, I'm honored to be the one chosen as Solomon's opponent. It is only...
Yes?
Your Majesty, you're such an excellent player. Sometimes I fear it may grow tedious to you playing with someone who never wins.
It is not so easy to win from you as all that, Benaiah. Each night it is a new problem to break through your defenses. Go now, on that visit you must make to the dungeons. I will be waiting to see if I can win from you this evening.
Very well, Your Majesty. As you wish.
And so Benaiah set off through the corridors of the palace, down the steep stairs to the dungeons. Now, with such a wise man as Solomon for king, with kindly Benaiah as presiding judge of the Sanhedrin, there were few indeed whose wickedness was deemed so incurable that only the dungeons would serve. But there was one prisoner there whose mischief was beyond anything human, and he had been there many months.
Asmodeus.
Be quiet, be quiet. Is that any way to talk to the king of the demons? Is this any place to keep the king of the demons? When is King Solomon going to keep his promise and release me?
His promise?
I told him where to find a magic worm that would cut the stones for the temple. He promised to release me for that. What sort of king is this Solomon who doesn't keep his promises?
King Solomon keeps his promises. If he has not released you yet, it is because you are always causing some mischief or disturbance here in the dungeons.
He's keeping me here while he tries to think of some way to weaken my powers. That's it. I know it. Is he not always talking to you of some new scheme for rendering me helpless before he sets me free?
No, Asmodeus, he is not. He has not spoken of you in a month or more.
Oh, he has forgotten me and his promise. This is the wise and just Solomon.
Oh, be quiet, demon. I do not believe he has forgotten his promise. But if it will quiet you, I will remind him of it again.
When? As soon as you see him. When are you seeing him again?
I'm seeing him very soon. As soon as I leave you. We are playing chess again today, after all.
Why do you sigh that way, Benaiah?
I sigh because I thought for one day to have a respite.
A respite? But is it not a pleasure to play chess with such an opponent as Solomon?
It might be if I would ever win, but I never win. Never. Of all the games we've ever played, I've not won one.
Ah?
It wears a man down day after day after day, playing his very best, and still not able to win even once. I would give my soul to win just once.
Your soul? Did you say your soul?
Yes, of course I would not give my soul. Take that sly look off your face, Asmodeus. I was only talking wildly.
But it is a wish that goes very deep, this desire to win.
I do not deny it. I am a good chess player, a very good chess player. I would like to win just one game.
Well, you could win, by hook or by crook.
By hook or... by cheating, you mean? Never.
But why not? If you want to win so badly, you might only have to cheat a very, very little.
That is enough, Asmodeus. I will remind His Majesty that he promised to release you, but I assure you the keeping of the promise will depend on an end of your mischief here in the dungeon.
Think of it, Benaiah. How it would be if you were the one to cry, checkmate!
Goodbye, Asmodeus.
And you could win, you know. By hook or by crook! By hook or by crook, Benaiah! By hook or by crook!
Well, you're willing to believe it was a true demon there in Solomon's dungeon. Certainly only a demon would find his pleasure in such a wise as Asmodeus did. But Benaiah was a good man, as well as a good chess player, and he forced Asmodeus' words from his mind as he hurried to face his king over the chessboard. And today, for once, the game went well for Benaiah.
Well, no, I was not expecting that move from you, Benaiah. I will admit it.
No? You're a little worried for once.
Exceedingly worried. The king there. No. The knight? Benaiah, what is this? Have you really trapped me?
Could it be? Maybe for once I've done it.
The knight there. No, not that either.
Your pardon, Majesty.
Huh? Oh, yes, my lad.
Her Majesty, the Queen Mother, asks pardon for interrupting your game, but wonders if you might attend her for just a moment in the long hall.
Oh, yes, of course. You will excuse me, Benaiah?
Of course, Your Majesty. There is just one move you can make in any case, and then I will have the game. I will wait and gladly.
Just one move? Wait a bit. I think I see another.
Huh?
Aha! There you are, Benaiah. See if the bishop there does not change the picture.
The bishop? He moved the bishop. Oh, no. Oh, no. The one move I never foresaw. And with that move, he has the game. He has it again. I thought, no. It is too much. Is there no way I can win? No way.
By hook or by crook, you could win.
No, stop it.
By hook or by crook.
I will not think it. I will not remember the tempting of Asmodeus.
But look, only look. If he had put the bishop in that square instead of where he did.
It is true. If he had put it there, I could still win. I would be bound to win.
You could put it there, Benaiah. He did it all in such a hurry, he would never notice. Move it, Benaiah. Move it and you will win. Win for once.
Yes, yes. To win for once, to win for once. There, I moved it.
Well, have you figured out your answer yet, Benaiah?
Why, yes, I think I have, Your Majesty, and I do not think you improved your situation so much by that last move. As I see it, I have only to move here, and it is...
Wait. That is not the square to which I moved the bishop.
No, but you made your move in such haste, Your Majesty. Perhaps you meant to move it elsewhere, but the fact remains, it is where it is.
And you say I moved it there, Benaiah?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Then it shall be as you say. Now it is plain you have only to move as you said, and you have the game, Benaiah.
Yes, like this, and checkmate, I win!
Yes, you win, Benaiah. Congratulations, old friend.
Yes, congratulate me. For the first time in all our thousands of games together, I have won, Your Majesty. What do you think of that?
What do I think? I had not known you cared so deeply for winning, old friend. It is time you won. Come, let us go to dinner now.
But Solomon was thinking more than he said. He knew beyond doubt that Benaiah had cheated, and he was sorely troubled, grieved that an old and trusted friend had stooped to such trickery, determined, however, that Benaiah must be brought to account for it. But how? Solomon sat quiet through dinner and through the evening, and the problem was still on his mind as he tossed and turned in his great bed.
All right. I will accuse him straight out. Tell him I know he moved the bishop. No. Instead of remorse, he will feel anger. He must be made to confess.
Made to confess.
Made to... Oh, this is folly. Every hour sleep retreats farther, and any decision with it. I will get up and go walk in the garden a while. Perhaps that will bring ease to my soul.
And so Solomon rose in the dark and went to the wardrobes for an old rough robe that he wore at times like this when no one would see him and the trappings of kingship seemed heavy. He put on the rough old robe and slipped quietly out of the palace and into the gardens. Deep into the shadows he walked, his sandaled feet noiseless on the grass. There was no sound but the piping of the crickets, the rustle of leaves. Then suddenly, Solomon heard someone talking softly, not far off.
Well, friend, now what? How do we get into the palace? It was your idea as much as mine that we try to get some of Solomon's gold. You think of something.
Breaking in is no good. The guards would hear us.
What else can we do?
Perhaps I can help.
Who's that?
Just say I am another like yourselves. Someone interested in the gold in that palace there.
I do not believe it.
He is a guard or something.
Here, have a look at me in the moonlight. Do I look like a guard in these clothes? I tell you, I am interested in the king's riches.
Then maybe you have some idea of how we can get into the palace and get some for ourselves.
As a matter of fact, I do. I can get both of you in, too.
Is it true? How?
If you know how to get in, why should you be so generous to us?
The more of us that go in, the more we can carry out.
True enough. How do we get in?
Look, I have a key to the side door of the palace.
A key? How did you get that?
I have my ways. Come, shall we try it?
No, I do not like it. There will be a guard at the door.
That door is never guarded. The guard stands at the great door. But this is Solomon's own private door, and he prefers it unwatched.
You know a lot about the palace workings.
I have friends inside.
Well, come on, come on. What are we waiting for? Let us try this fellow's key and find out for ourselves.
We're really inside. Inside Solomon's palace.
Look, the floors are marble. And look, those vases.
Yes, yes, but first of all, where is the treasure kept?
I know that. Come, this way. Treasure room is right down this corridor. But quietly, quietly.
We're right behind you.
All right, here we are. Here is Solomon's treasure room.
Look, chests ranged all around the room.
All of them full of gold and silver and jewels.
Yeah, but they're locked, all of them.
That is all right. I know where the keys are kept.
You know that, too. You know an amazing lot, fellow.
I told you I have friends. Now wait here, both of you, while I go fetch what is needed.
We'd wait. Why not go with you?
I can manage better alone. It will be quieter, too.
All right, we will wait. But hurry, hurry.
Yes, never fear. We will be at the finish of this before you know it.
And so Solomon left the two thieves in the treasure room and hurried off to his own rooms, where he doffed the old rough robe and put on his own kingly raiment. Then he went forth again into the palace and down to the great door where the guard stood.
Oh, good evening, Hezekiah.
Your Majesty, is anything wrong?
No, nothing is wrong. I've just come to tell you that I have caught a couple of thieves for you.
Thieves? In the palace?
Yes. They are waiting quietly in the treasure room at the moment.
Thieves in the treasure room? Oh, Your Majesty, I have not left my post for a moment. I cannot understand it. It seems impossible.
Oh, be calm, good Hezekiah. I know you have not been lax in your watch. I let them in through my own side door.
You let them in?
I was out in the garden pondering a problem that oppressed me. And I heard them plotting to gain entrance.
You should have sounded the alarm for me, Your Majesty.
Well, in which case they would simply have fled, Hezekiah. This way they have trapped themselves.
Well, yes. Yes, it is so, Your Majesty.
But that is it. That is the way.
Beg pardon, Your Majesty?
That is the answer for Benaiah, too. I will let him trap himself.
Your Majesty.
Never mind, Hezekiah. Get the thieves and put them in the guard room till tomorrow, when the Sanhedrin will decide their punishment. I myself return to bed now. It has been a good night's work after all. I think I shall sleep.
Now, the Sanhedrin, as you may know, was the highest court in the land, and Benaiah, among his other duties, was the presiding judge. Solomon himself did not always attend its sessions, but this morning he had a plan. He waited till the members of the Sanhedrin were all assembled in the great courtroom. He waited till Benaiah himself had entered the room and taken his place.
Order, please! Order!
Then Solomon himself entered.
Greetings, Benaiah.
Benaiah looked up. It was his first meeting with Solomon since the chess game the night before. In spite of himself, he drew back a little.
Your Majesty, this is a surprise.
Judges, elders, we are unusually honored this morning.
Thank you, my friends. Pray be seated again. I shall not disturb you long.
But it is not a disturbance, Your Majesty. Here, will you be seated?
No, thank you, Benaiah. I've come only for a moment to ask the Sanhedrin for some advice.
Advice? But, of course, Your Majesty, if there's any way we can be of service.
I have come to ask, what is the proper punishment for a thief?
Proper punishment for a thief? But I do not understand, Your Majesty. You bring no thief with you.
No, that is true. Still, I ask the question. What is the proper punishment for any man who plots to take by stealth and cunning something that is not rightfully his?
Your Majesty, this question This question is very unusual.
Oh, really, Benaiah? But I have not mentioned the most unusual part yet. Suppose there is no real proof of anything being taken or moved.
Well, Your Majesty, pardon me, please. A thousand pardons, but before you go any farther, may I have a few words with you in private? It is most important.
So? Very well, Benaiah.
Gentlemen of the Sanhedrin, will you please excuse us for a few moments? There's something I must discuss with His Majesty. We will resume our session shortly. This way, Your Majesty. The little antechamber will be empty now. Enter, please.
Thank you. All right. We are alone now, Benaiah. What is it you wish to say so privately?
Oh, Your Majesty, it is true, every word you said. I am no better than a thief, and I deserve to have my crime proclaimed before all. But please, Your Majesty, show mercy just this once.
You deserve to have your crime proclaimed?
If you knew how I had suffered since last night, Your Majesty. Your Majesty, from the moment I moved that bishop on the chessboard while you were out of the room, I've been in torment.
So?
I won, but there was no pleasure in winning. I could not look at you or speak to you through dinner. All night, I tossed and turned in my shame. Shame that I, Benaiah, whom you trust, should have stooped to cheating to win a chess game. Oh, Your Majesty, censure me, punish me. I deserve anything you wish to do to me. But since this is the first time, the only time I will be guilty of such an act, can you keep my shame between you and me?
Why, yes, I think so, Benaiah. I do not think there is any need for anyone else to know of it, ever.
Your Majesty, oh, you are merciful. Now, punish me.
I do not see how there is need for more punishment. You have punished yourself since the moment you yielded to temptation. Your guilt has haunted you so that you confess when there was no need.
No need? What do you mean, no need?
I came before the Sanhedrin asking what to do about a thief. There actually were two thieves in the palace last night. Two thieves whom I let into the palace with my own key.
There really were thieves?
They did not take anything. They had no opportunity. I sent the guard to take them as soon as I had them safely in the treasure room. Actually, they were not guilty of breaking in either, because, as I say, I helped them. All they were really guilty of was plotting. There really is some doubt about their punishment.
But when you ask, my own guilt answered. Oh, Your Majesty, you have my promise that never again will I listen to the voice of temptation as I did last night. But will you give me a proverb as well to help me remember this bitter lesson?
A proverb? Yes, you are right, Benaiah. All that has happened should give me thought for a proverb. How about the wicked walk in darkness? They know not at what they stumble.
They know not at what they stumble. It is very true, Your Majesty. A wicked act brings its own darkness. And I stumbled when there was naught to stumble on.
As for me, I think perhaps I have learned something too. Even as I encouraged the thieves in their evil plans, so perhaps I bear some blame in your surrender to temptation, Benaiah.
Your Majesty.
I must admit it, Benaiah. I have always been too eager to win. Playing against an opponent who never gives another a chance to win, in turn, can hardly have been easy. I can see how the voice of temptation grew louder.
Oh, it should not have mastered me, Your Majesty. It never will again.
I am sure of it, Benaiah. Even so, I think perhaps there will be a little more balance in who wins our chess games in the future. We will share our victories. For the Lord hateth pride, even as other sins. Now we are chastened together. Let's get on with the day's work, old friend.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Philip Arnoff, member of the National Cabinet of the National Planning Committee of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America and a prominent community leader. Mr. Arnoff.
The wonderful thing about Solomon's Proverbs is not so much that he perceived universal truths about human nature merely through observing others, but that many of his deepest insights came from an intense examination of his own motives. This is fittingly illustrated by today's Eternal Light drama, which aptly illustrated one of the great truths about human character, the danger of excessive pride. As King Solomon said in the book of Proverbs, a man's pride will bring him low. As I see it, there are two kinds of pride which one must guard against. One is the pride of the victor, whose success, whether intellectual, economic, political, or in any aspect of outdoing another, fills him with arrogance and dulls his conscience and consideration toward others. How many of us can truthfully say that we have not been guilty of such pride at some time in our lives? But there is also another kind of pride, which is as insidious and destructive as the pride of success. There is that of the self-righteous man, who, in order to blind himself to his own shortcomings, is quick to discern the faults of others, and thus shield himself by appointing himself judge and jury all in one. This turns into complacency, which leaves no room for self-improvement, since it precludes any attempt to change oneself. How many of us are free of these blind spots about ourselves? I do not say that we should be without reasonable self-esteem or justifiable satisfaction with our own achievements, for understanding oneself is often another manifestation of excessive pride. And without a realistic estimate of one's own abilities, a person will be unable to do the job in life which his propensities can fulfill. Just as this warning of King Solomon against overweening pride can be applied to individuals, so too is it equally relevant to the conduct of nations. We in America, with our great good fortune of both spiritual and material riches, must be particularly careful to guard against pride and complacency in our relations with other nations, and must continue to set an example of true generosity and integrity for all nations. For just as with people, so with nations, pride will bring them low.
Thank you, Mr. Arnoff. Eternal Light drama today, The King's Pawn, written by Marion Voigt, was adapted from Lillian Freehoff's Stories of King Solomon, published by the Jewish Publication Society of America. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Hal Burdick, Roger DeCoven, Haywood Hale Brun, Bert Cowlin, and Hal Burdick Jr. The narrator was Alexander Skirby. This is Mel Brandt. Today's program came to you from our studios in Radio City. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America and was directed by Ward Byron. This is the NBC Radio Network.